Luke chapter 24. Here in Luke chapter 24, we find, beginning with verse number 13, the story of Jesus meeting the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I want us to just focus our thoughts on what took place that night, or that afternoon probably. You know, these two followers of Jesus, they weren't among the 12 disciples. We know that for sure because of some of the things that they said here. But they were some of Christ's followers. It was Sunday afternoon. Christ had risen from the dead that morning. Some of the women reported to the followers of Christ that they had seen the risen Christ. There were mixed emotions. Did the ladies really see what they thought they saw? Were they imagining things? And even when you read the accounts of the disciples following the ladies to the tomb, it says that they saw and believed, but it appears that they believed the report of the ladies, not believed that Christ was risen. They believed that, yeah, he's not here. You're right. We believe that. But it didn't appear that they believed that he was actually resurrected, because they continued to doubt. They continued to question. And that afternoon, these two disciples made their way back to Emmaus, which was a country town about 12 kilometers over the hills, over the mountains, toward the northwest of Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were sadly discussing the events of the day, as we could imagine. Wondering what exactly took place. You can just picture in your mind the two of them discussing back and forth and saying, yeah, I just don't understand. You think the ladies really did see the resurrected Christ? Could it be that he really came back from the dead? And they probably wondered amongst themselves, and why did he die? What was all this for? You know, what was it? We thought he was going to be the king. Why would he allow them to crucify him? If he was the king of the Jews, he could have stopped that. And all this discussion back and forth. And as they discussed and talked and wandered over these dry, dusty hillside roads and on their way home, along came a stranger. And it just joined with them. And as he walked along with them, he said, what are you guys discussing? This sounds important. What is this that you're talking about? I said, are you a stranger? You new to the area? Everybody knows that 3 days ago they crucified Jesus of Nazareth. And as the stranger heard their discussion, he entered into a conversation with them and communed together with them and reasoned with them. And he began to discuss with them Old Testament passages of Scripture. And the Scriptures tell us in verse number 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that conversation? To have the Lord of the earth, the Lord of the universe, the King of kings, the author of Scripture, to go back and find each of those Scriptures references in the Old Testament and say, what do you guys think of this one? Isaiah said this. What do you think about this one? Jeremiah said this. Oh, well, consider this one way back in Genesis. Consider, what about this one over here? And he expounded them all the Scriptures, all of them, it says, that were concerning Christ. And they were thoroughly enjoying their conversation as they walked those 12 kilometers over those hillsides. They got to Emmaus, and the stranger acted as though he was going to continue on his journey. And they said, oh, come on, spend the night with us. It's getting late afternoon. Come on, spend the night with us. We got room. There's an extra place. You can put your head down. We got a pillow and a blanket. Come on, spend the night with us. And he said, well, okay. And the stranger joined them for the evening. And the two men, perhaps they had family there, perhaps their wives or whatever the case may be, they began to prepare the evening meal. They may not have had much, but what little bit they had, they were willing to share. And as they set out the meal, oddly enough, the stranger took the role of the host. He took the bread. He broke the bread. He blessed the bread. And he handed it out to them. And as he did, their eyes were opened. And they saw who he was. They realized this was Jesus. And immediately they dropped what they were doing. Jesus disappeared. They dropped what they were doing. They said, we got to go back to Jerusalem and tell them what we heard. And this time, instead of meandering over that road, they were probably now dusk or even after dark, and they were probably jogging to get back there as fast as they could and tell what they knew. But the phrase I want us to look at here tonight is one that has puzzled me over the years. We find that phrase there as Jesus, or as they were describing what they saw, and they said they knew him when he broke the bread. They knew him when he broke the bread. And we see this in verse number 35. That will be our text this evening. And they told what they got back to Jerusalem, told the disciples what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. What does that phrase mean? As we look at that phrase here tonight, what I want us to do is I want you to follow along in your scriptures. We're going to look up several passages of scriptures as we look at this phrase. First of all, I want us to see how the phrase was used in Jesus' ministry. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Here in Matthew chapter 14, we find one of the first places it was used. It's also in the parallel Gospels, Mark 6:41, Luke 9:16, and John 6:11. But this is the one I want us to look at here tonight. It's probably the clearest of the four. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Jesus broke the bread. Now, what was he doing here? He was feeding the multitude. This was preparing a meal for the multitude. And he took the fish and the bread, and he broke it, and blessed it. In other words, he prayed and thanked God for it. And he gave it to them. So we see here that he was... The phrase of breaking the bread is describing a normal, regular meal. We see another example of this in the feeding of the 4,000. And we find that in Matthew 15:36, but also in Mark 8:6. And I want to look at the Mark 8:6 one. I think it's a little more clear. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 6. And he, Jesus, commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves, and he gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. So once again, Jesus broke the bread and fed the multitudes. So here, once again, we see that the phrase of breaking bread was a description of preparing the meal and passing it out. If we were to put it into today's scenario, that you ladies, when you're preparing the meal for the family, you are breaking the bread and getting it ready. And in this case, it was a literal thing. They had flat Lebanese-type bread that was often brittle, and they would break it in pieces and pass it around that way. So it was a literal breaking of the bread, but it was also a preparation of the meal and passing it out. So during Jesus' ministry, we can see that the breaking of the bread was a common description of the preparation and distribution of a meal. We also see that in the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper, and again, it's Matthew 26:26, Mark 14:22, but I want us to look at Luke 22:19. Luke 22:19. Luke 22 and verse number 19. And he, Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Some of the other passages say that it was after they had eaten he did this. And so we see here that he used it in this case during the institution of his memorial that we call the Lord's Supper. He said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me," the breaking of the bread. Now, while we're in Luke here, just turn a page or two in your Bible to chapter 24, and we're going to look at our text once again. Beginning of verse number 30, I want to read down through 30 to 35 to get the full context of what it says here. Luke chapter 24, verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the" what? Found the what? The 11. Important note. They found the 11. And them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now, why is that significant that they found the 11? Who was present at the first Lord's Supper? The 12. One's dead now. So they found the 11. That means that these two men that were there that afternoon with Jesus in Emmaus were not at the first Lord's Supper. So that's a big clue to us that when they saw him break the bread, many people say that the breaking of the bread always refers to the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. It doesn't. We've seen that in Jesus' ministry. And even here, I don't think that you can build an argument on that, because these men weren't there at the first Lord's Supper. They didn't know what it looked like when he broke the bread. So what did it mean? Commentator Harry Ironside had a very good comment on this, and it's fairly long. And I want to read it to us tonight, so you bear with me as I read this and pay close attention. It's well said. Speaking of this scenario here that we just read, "They soon prepared the evening meal, and this wondrous stranger was asked to recline at the table with them. It might have been a very simple meal. There might not have been very much variety, but they were prepared to share what they had with him. He took his place at the table, but not simply as a guest. He took the place of a host. Instead of waiting for Cleophas or the other disciples to ask the blessing, he took one of the wafers of bread and looked up into heaven and gave thanks. They thought they were inviting him as their guest, but they found that they were his guests. He was the host. Suddenly, as they looked upon his hands when he was about to break the bread, in a revelation came to them." We read, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." How did they know him? They told the disciples afterward in Jerusalem, "He was known of us in the breaking of bread." These two were not at the Lord's Supper. At that time, there were 11. The apostles of the Lord Jesus These two were but disciples who otherwise were unknown. So they did not recognize him because of something they had seen him do in the upper room. But as they gazed upon those hands, no doubt they saw the prints of the nails, as Thomas was shortly afterwards to see. And they said, "Oh, this is he. Look at those hands. This is the one who was nailed to the cross." And they recognized him, and they knew him now to be the Christ, the Redeemer of Israel. But when they looked again, he was gone. He had vanished out of their sight. End of quote. Lots to think about there. They knew him by the breaking of bread. You know, I think that along with that, Ironside doesn't mention this, but I believe that in the breaking of the bread, another significant part about that, every time we saw Jesus broke bread, what else was included? He broke the bread and he blessed it. Thank God for it. Can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? Talking to his Father in heaven. And those men sat there, and as he broke the bread and he looked up into heaven and he talked to his Father in front of them, it was like the light came on. Like, this isn't an ordinary man. This is the man we've seen feed the 5,000. This is the man we saw feed the 4,000. This is the man we've sat with many, many times and eaten meals together. He broke the bread and he talked to his Father in heaven. That's the Lord Jesus. And the light came on. We see also another example of the use of this term later on in Luke's writings in the book of Acts, chapter 27. This is a totally different scenario. If you remember Acts 27 is the great storm chapter of the Bible. Paul is on that ship on his way to Rome. They've been in the midst of a great storm for 14 days, taking nothing to eat. They were fasting and very hungry. And we see in verse number 35, actually verse 34, "Wherefore," Paul said, "I pray you to take some meat," some food, "for this is your health. For there shall not an hair of your head of any of you hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And they, when they had broken it, he began to eat. So Paul here is breaking bread. Obviously here he's not having the Lord's Supper with these pagan sailors on the ship in the storm. It's a meal. He's encouraging them to eat. We turn ourselves to another aspect here in the book of Acts, earlier in the book, chapter 2. And we see in verse number 42, a very familiar verse. You will recognize it when we read it. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." What does that mean? Well, obviously, we know what doctrine is. That was their teaching and instruction. The word fellowship there is a word that is frequently refers to communication, sharing. It has to do with, basically, it's the means sharing. They shared several things. They shared the gospel. They shared finances. They shared their relationship with Christ. They shared the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They continued steadfastly in this sharing. And then it says they stayed steadfastly in breaking of bread. And they stayed steadfastly in prayer. Now, here it seems to be sandwiched in with a lot of spiritual events. Perhaps it's here referring to the Lord's Supper. That is a genuine possibility. As we look down though in verse number 46, it sheds a little different light on it. Verse 46, and they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now notice the wording there. And they continued daily. Every day they continued with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat or their meal with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, here it sounds much more like meals. And the reason I say that is twofold. Did they actually partake in the Lord's Supper every single day? Did they do it from house to house? I know that they did not have a church building like we do here. And they did often meet in houses for church. There is a possibility there. But it seems a bit unusual that they did it daily from house to house. And it says that they did eat their meat, their meal, their food with gladness. It sounds to me like at least verse 46 is referring to regular church meals. They got together regularly, fellowshipped, talked about the Word of God, and had something to eat. But I'm not ruling out the possibility that it was referring to the Lord's Supper. It could be. We see also down in Acts chapter 20 in verse number 7, the Apostle Paul here in his ministry, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. He was in Troas now. Remember, Troas was a city that was on the northwestern corner of Asia. Troas was the city where Paul was when he got the Macedonian call to go over to Philippi to preach the gospel. And it was there, Troas, he was preaching. It says that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And they continued his speech until midnight. And we're familiar with the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he preaches a long time. Eutychus is sitting in the window. He falls out the window and breaks his neck, probably. And he was taken up dead. Paul goes down there, three stories down, and God allows him to raise Eutychus back to life again. And then Paul goes back up, and they continue on their service. And then we see down in verse number 11, when he therefore was come up again, got back up to the top third story again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until the break of day, so he departed. They broke bread. Is this talking about the Lord's Supper? I mean, verse 7 kind of sounds that way. It sounds like they got together to break bread. You could say, well, they're getting together to have the Lord's Supper. At the same time, verse 11 sounds more like they went back up there, finally got their meal together, and when they had eaten and talked a long time, sounds more like church fellowship. It's a bit uncertain. Could be either one. You may say, Pastor, why are you going through all this? Because for years I've wondered. I figured you might wonder. What are these passages talking about? Do they all talk about the Lord's Supper? Or some of them don't? It's obviously we've seen here tonight. Some of the times it talks about breaking bread do not talk about the Lord's Supper. Deciphering the ones that are hard to decipher? You make your own choice. I don't know the answer. But we can see there's some of these lean either way. Then we move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here in 1 Corinthians, we find two different passages in 10 and in 11. And these passages are clearly speaking of the Lord's Supper. Chapter 10 and verse number 16. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "The cup of blessing which we blessed, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" So he's clearly here speaking of the Lord's Supper. That fellowship, that communion, that fellowship that they had around the body and blood of Christ with the grape juice and the bread. We turn the page over to chapter 11, where we will spend the remainder of our time this evening. Beginning with verse number 23, this is familiar territory to all of us. We're familiar with this passage. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Here we clearly see that this breaking of bread directly related to the supper that Jesus instituted there on his last night with his disciples. There's no question about that. And as we think over these, all of these scriptures we've looked at here tonight, and if you want all of the scriptures, you can download my notes, and especially there in the parallel passages in the Gospels, you can, if you didn't get those down, you can download the notes if you'd like. But we ask ourselves, what do we learn from this? What do we see from this? Well, we've learned that the phrase breaking of bread originally referred to serving a meal. Jesus broke bread and fed the multitudes. They broke bread on the ship and ate. That was the common term. There in Emmaus, when Jesus broke the bread, acting as the host of the meal, even though he was a stranger. Can you imagine? You know, just put yourself in that situation. You ladies are all, you know, a bit fidgety because you've got guests, and especially one that you weren't expecting, and your husband just brings this guy home, and you're not expecting this guy, and he's, you know, your husband says, he's a real nice guy, you'll like him. And so you're trying to fix his meal, and you're getting things all ready, and he sits down at the table and says, "All right, folks, let's pray." And you think, it's not the way we usually do it here. But Jesus took charge. And he prayed and broke the bread and served them. And through that, they knew him because of his leading role in that. Probably not anything to do with his institution of the supper, because those two weren't there. We saw various other uses of it through the scriptures. But the thing that we do know is that the Lord intends us as believers to eat the memorial supper periodically to show or declare the Lord's death as often as we eat the supper. The little phrase, "as often as ye eat." He doesn't specify how often. Some churches are under the conviction that this took place at the Passover, and therefore the right time of the year to do it is at the Passover. Fair enough. He didn't say we couldn't. He didn't say that was wrong. He just says, as often as you do it, you remember me. Other churches go the other extreme and just have it regularly. Some churches have it weekly. And we can see a problem with that. Though it's not forbidden to do that, too often becomes a ritual. You know, think about it. Some of the things that we always do it that way. If you didn't do it that way, somebody say, "Hey, what's wrong? You didn't do it." And it just becomes a ritual that nobody thinks about. You have it the other direction. You have it too seldom, and it fails to serve its purpose. So somewhere in the middle, where we have it often enough to remember, but seldom enough so that it doesn't become a ritual. And God leaves it up to each individual local church to decipher that and to determine that. So as you read that phrase in the scripture, breaking of bread, you can see that sometimes it's clearly food. Other times, it's clearly the Lord's Supper. And then there's those times in the middle that you say, could be either, I'm not sure. But tonight as we look here at the text that we're at, I want us to begin again to read in verse number 23 and read down through verse number 31. For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we were judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. As we look at this passage, the scriptures encourage us to examine ourselves. It's a time of remembering what Christ did. We don't want it to be just a ritual. We don't want it to be just something we do. We want it to be a time that we can actually remember. Jesus did die. Jesus rose again. Jesus walked that dusty road to Emmaus with those disciples. Jesus did reveal himself to them. He was alive. He has gone back to glory. And he is going to come and get us again. He's going to take us to be with him. We need to remember what he did for us. And so, let's just take a moment to bow in prayer. Silent prayer. You pray in your own heart. I'll pray in mine. After a moment or so, I'll close. But just ask the Lord to make sure there's nothing between you and the Lord.